Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We got D'Angelo playing in the background, as always. Y'all hear that music, you know what the weekend is about to get started like. Yo, this is Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, from the north to the south, the east and to the west. Do not stress. Why? Because you are blessed. And I've got a smile on my face. Energy to waste. And if you're looking for inspiration, unity, and community, then watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this. It is guaranteed, that you are in the right place. It's your hostess with the mostest, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks. And it's another edition of Real Life and Real Talk. And we here at the studio at the Horn, we don't take it lightly. Yo, I don't take it lightly. Thank y'all so very much for taking the time to listen in, because you could be anywhere on your Saturday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, but you are here rocking with us and you're here to get better. And this show is going to be special, and you are guaranteed to walk out of this segment, walk out of this show, walk out of this next hour better than the way that you came in, ladies and gentlemen. So I am truly excited about this episode, y'all. We got something special. I've got a special guest, a family friend who is in here. So without further ado, we're going to get straight into him, straight into this message. Why? Because you are going to be uplifted. You are going to be empowered. You are going to be inspired. And therefore, you're going to go out into the world and you are going to impact the lives of other people based off of the wisdom, based off of the insight, based off of the knowledge that is going to be dropped to you in this segment and in this show. So without further ado, Big John, we know you in the studio window. If you can, cue that TC Speaks for me, please. All right, y'all, you know that deal. Listen, let's get into it then. For me, I have to give you my heart. I have to give you my heart on this show, because it does me such great honor to introduce this gentleman who I'm going to bring to the mic next. We are our families. You know, we like cousins. We like cousins, right, bro?
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
it's cousins. We ain't got the same blood, but doggone it, we grew up together. Did everything together. Our families are synonymous. They go hand in hand with each other. So it brings me great joy to have you in the studio, man. I'm introducing y'all. His name is Kentre Kennard, and he is definitely a brother who has an amazing story. The highs and the lows, he's been there. But not only has he been there, he's also made it through. And I think that is what is incredibly special about this gentleman. And this is going to be a show for the ages. Kentre, man, how you doing today, bro?
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty good today. I can't complain.
Y'all, he was nervous. He lied. Listen, y'all, he was nervous. Hey, like,
I ain't gonna admit it. You tell anybody but your mama, you lie.
Hey, man, yeah. Listen, so I'm excited, bro, because you have a journey,
yes, sir.
And more important, your spirit and your heart as a human being is contagious. You know what I'm saying? And I am so happy to have this experience with you. Before we get in too deep, because you're going to spit something that's going to touch somebody's heart and touch their soul. Kentre, let them know what your social media handles are so we can go ahead and get that out the way. Go ahead and drop out. Where can people keep up with you?
All right, you can find me on Instagram at GTE40. You can find me on Facebook at Kentre Kennard. Twitter coming soon.
Yes, sir.
Also, you can be looking out for my website and look for all the updates on my social media.
Hey, so listen in, y'all. Y'all show him some love on the Horn today, man. Text us in 512-337-3776. Show Kentre that real life, real talk love. Let him know he's embraced. Y'all keep up with him. When he says something, if he says something that touches your heart, yo, write it in. Let us know what you're thinking. And also, we are the Horn. We are live. We are local. We are digital. Download this SoundCloud app. Take these real life, real talk messages everywhere that you go. Hit that share button, post it on your social media, and build this following, because we are about changing within the community. So a lot of people are asking, they're like, man, who is this dude? Why is he on the show? I want people to know, like, yo, our fathers are the best of friends.
Best of friends.
The best of friends. And that friendship love started when they were teammates at the Houston Oilers.
Yes, sir.
So that's how this love kind of began, and our families stuck together, and that love trickled down into the hearts and minds of us as children, that next generation.
Next generation, and not only just that, but to extended family as well.
Yes.
You know, grandmothers, aunts, uncles.
Everybody.
First, second, third, fourth cousin. All down the line.
We all know each other, man, and that's what's been beautiful. And so I'll have to ask you this question, because people always ask me.
All right.
You are the son of a professional football player.
Yes.
Your dad has the story of being notorious on the north side of Fort Worth.
Yes, sir.
A lot of big shoes to fill as a child growing up. So people always ask me, yo, how was it like, you know, growing up in the shadow of somebody who played a professional sport and was known? I want to ask you that same thing so that people get insight into the heart and mind of somebody else. What was it like growing up on the north side of Fort Worth for you and your father being who he was?
Didn't really realize how big he was mm-hmm. as a kid. Because, you know, to us, that's just pops.
Yeah.
But then you hear the stories of them coming up, hear him in high school.
Ken Kennard.
And then once we start playing peewee ball, and that Kennard name rung bells, and I didn't realize it.
Mm.
The expectations were great.
Mm-hmm.
Not from him, but everybody from around us. Everybody on the outside had these expectations for my brother and I that we had to be it. Oh, he must force y'all to play ball. My mm-hmm. father never forced us to play ball. It was our choice. He would tell us, you don't have to play because I did. You play because you want to.
Mm.
We both made that decision. And, you know, and in some cases, man, we had it harder, you know, sports-wise because of the last name in Fort Worth. And I think that was one of the hardest things, especially for me as a kid. And I remember having an adult ask me, I heard you think you're better than everybody else in this school because your father played professional football.
Wow, man.
I'm like, man, that's not true. I've never said such things.
How old were you at that time, Kentrell? Do you remember?
I was nine or 10 when that happened.
Man, wow. Keep going.
Didn't have a sense of, you know, where that came from or whatever. And I remember sitting there thinking about to get home to my mom crying. I tell her. And my dad's at work. She calls him and lets him know. And so she apparently, excuse me.
Yeah.
She has calls to have it was the principal.
Okay. Go ahead. It was the principal.
Yeah,
the head honcho. El Capitan.
Yes. And I felt like because of who my father was, I got poked at a little bit from her.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because of who my father was. I'm Kentre Kennard. I'm not Ken Kennard, football player.
Right.
I'm a kid. I just want to go play.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
I think that's important because a lot of times, like, people don't understand it from that perspective. Number one, father's similar. People think that sports were forced on us. When all actuality, it was like the one thing that they really didn't want us because they already knew how it was going to be perceived. You know what I mean?
Like, I can tell you, my dad would look and say, look at me. You see the trouble I had with my knees? You sure you want to go through this?
Mm-hmm.
I remember coming down here one summer, and was it Chris's graduation?
It might have been.
And I never forget, and your pops asked me, you sure you still want to play? Because I think that's when it was prevalent that the injuries in the knees and stuff had started getting even worse.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love the game.
Still love the game.
At this point, you know, the truth of the matter is, I know there's a risk, but I'm willing to
put it on the line,
you know, to do what I love. You know, and I look at both of them, and I watch the struggle.
Yeah, man.
And to see what they once were and to see them now, you know, it's amazing. But I look at that will that they had when they were playing ball, and that's what's pushing them through today.
It's still pushing them through, and that's what's powerful. I tell people all the time, please don't judge a man or a woman based off of what you see on the exterior.
Yes, sir.
Because interior, no matter if it's our parents, what we're talking about, or just anybody, that heart, you know, that heart or that will is something that can't be seen from the exterior. The thing that propels me. I watch our fathers, and they still fighting.
Yeah.
They still pushing. So I tell people all the time, like, they ask, like, how your dad doing? I say, well, man, it might not look good, on the interior, exterior. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
But that interior, that fight and that dog, yo, it's still there.
Because, man, I tell people, my dad's knees are bone on bone. Mm-hmm. No cartilage.
Yeah, pro footballer do that to you. Football will do that to you. Playing on AstroTurf all them years will do that to you.
Do that to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember telling him here about 7-8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I said, man, Pops, I said, when I was growing up, I thought you was old. Mm-hmm. Huh? You thought I was old? I said, I didn't realize you were just in your early 30s. He said, why? I said, well, for one, you were salt and pepper. Two, when you stood up, your knees was popping, you limping around. But, you know,
Uncle Ken.
What? Three knee surgeries later? You know what I mean? So, hey, I get it now.
Yeah, man. Lessons learned, bro. Lessons learned. Talking to my man, Kentre Kennard, the son of the great Ken Kennard, a true legend on the north side of Fort Worth, true legend on the north side of Funky Town. Y'all go ahead and hit that Google button. If you have the Love Your Blue era, you already know what I'm talking about. I don't even have to explain it. So we dive in. You start getting ushered into sports. You have an older brother named KJ, Junior. So obviously KJ, really good athlete in his own right. And I think you and I got something in common in terms of being the younger siblings, at least within the family.
Yeah.
What I want to ask you is, from a perspective, you know, people always say, sports teaches you things. And I want to say this because I feel like sports taught you something that were preparing you ultimately for the journey that you were going to get ready to have to climb for yourself as a man on this earth. What do you feel like either the game of football or any sports that you grew up playing, how do you feel like they prepared you for life? Just straight up.
Straight up.
Straight up.
Football. Man, let's go. Let's start football.
Okay.
For one, talk patience.
Okay.
Speak on that. When you lining up, you can't go to that ball snap. Patience and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first fundamental things I believe that was taught to me when it came time to play was patience and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not disciplined, you miss an assignment. Why did you miss an assignment? You're supposed to stay home. What you doing coming down into the box?
You weren't patient. You didn't let it come to you.
You know, teamwork, relying on others. Sheer will, because there's something to say about moving another man against his will. And he trying not to let you, and he doesn't have a choice but to go where I want to take it.
See, and that's, I feel like that's like unspoken, bro. There is a level of superhuman. Like you feel like you're not of this world playing this game.
No.
When you can literally take somebody and make them do what they don't want to do. It is an and you can do that play in and play out. It is an empowered thing. That's why I tell people we're crazy to play this game.
Yeah.
Flat out, you have to be crazy to play this game.
Run full speed into another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And get up and laugh about it.
Get up and laugh about it.
Man.
So I got patience. I got teamwork. That sure will to impose your will rather on somebody else. Anything else?
You know, and that sure will that you impose on somebody else, it teach you that whatever you're going after, impose your will on it.
Mm-hmm.
Go after it. It teach you that hustle,
mm-hmm.
that dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us are born with that dog. Some of us learn it.
Yeah, I feel it. Some people don't know it or recognize it until they're out there. And I feel like when you tap into when life shows you some things about yourself that you did not know existed, there's a level of confidence that comes from that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that spills over into other facets of your life. When you see yourself doing something that you didn't think was possible and you show it and it gets done, it does wonders for your confidence. I.e. it doesn't have to be sports, just anybody and everything. When you do something like, yo, I didn't know I could do that, it's an eye-opener for you.
Because for me, like, sports-wise, basketball.
Mm.
Now, my brother, that's who I looked up to. You talking about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Football-wise, defensive-wise, it was my pops.
Yeah.
Lawrence Saylor.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Singletary.
Mm. Good names right there.
You know, offensive end was Jim Brown. My dad taught me Jim Brown.
The best.
Number two was Earl Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Then for me, it was Gale Sayers, and I was introduced to Gale Sayers, the movie Brian song.
Mm-hmm. Hence why you always wore number 40.
Hence
why you always wore number 40. And so those are the powerful things, man. So as a, you know, a young man who grew up in the shadow of a father, obviously plays sports, is a younger sibling, grew up, you know, on the north side of Fort Worth, just trying to have your own implant on the world.
Just trying to have my own implant, be my own person. And, you know, with that came some struggles as a kid, you know.
Don't tell them yet. We're going to get to that on the other side.
We're going to let them walk through.
Because
TC would say, we're going to let that marinate on your cerebellum.
Because on the other side of this break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to dive into Kentre Kennard and the kind when adversity starts to strike. But ultimately, life is preparing you for a greater leap.
Always.
Take us out, Big John. We're going to get into this on the other side of this break.
7-Eleven, even back door, Little Joe. I picked up the cash flow. Then we played bones, and I'm yelling domino. Plus, nobody I know got killed in South Central LA.
Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome back to another edition, our second segment here of Real Life, Real Talk. It's your hostess with the mostest, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, coming live and wild on your radio dial. Yo, tell everybody we have it going on this show. Tell as many people as you can about Real Life, Real Talk. Our world is growing here at the station, man. We got listeners. We got followers. Let's keep it going. That's how we change this community. And I'm blessed to have my brother from another mother, Kentre Kennard, in here with us. He was sharing a little bit about what it was like growing up as the great Ken Kennard's son on the north side of Fort Worth. Father was a teammate of mine, played defensive line for the Love You Blue Houston Oilers. And we just went through talking about those things, cultivating childhood. And you talked about sports and what that was like and how your dad dealt with it. In your own journey now, though, you know, you're starting to climb your way. You're playing sports. And things start getting tough for you, too. There's things taking place off the field in your life. But before we get there, I forgot. Where can people find you on social media, Kentre?
At GT40 on Instagram, at Kentre Kennard. Facebook.
Hey, and listen, we will get into why it is GTE 40. He did let y'all know that obviously his pops put him on game. You know, he loved Gale Sayers, hence why he knew the name 40. We got some young folks listening in, Kentre, that don't even know who Gale Sayers is.
Oh,
so now they're hitting the Google button.
That dude did more in, 6 years?
Man.
Than most people did in 12.
Man, they called him the Kansas Comet.
Yes, sir.
The Kansas Comet back in the day. And, So we're walking through that, Kentre. So you're going through, you're making your way up through the north side. What high school did you attend, man?
Okay, y'all, before we get into that, I gave y'all the tomato, the lettuce, and that good old mayo. Let's get to the meat.
Let's get to it. So take us there.
Well, first off, we're going to talk about the historic Kirkpatrick Middle School, which was once Kirkpatrick High School, which was an all-black high school on the north side of Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into this part about me and where I went to high school and stuff at, I have to shout them out because they're a big part. They're historic basketball teams, football teams, track teams, you name it. And so I can't remember the year when they shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to put out there, that my mother and father was the first group of kids to integrate Northside High School.
Wow.
At the time, Northside High School was an all-white high school. It was the first group to actually integrate into the school in 1971, I believe.
Man, that's history.
That's
bro.
History.
Wow.
That's history.
Yeah.
And so that's where I come from. You know, my dad's father, Tuskegee Airmen. He, Air Force. He trained in Tuskegee.
Wow.
Didn't see combat, but, you know, he was a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how he fit in the cockpit. He was 6'1", 6'2", 200-pound man. But, hey,
he got in there, kids, right? He got in there, though. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah,
Keep going, man. I mean, to skip
and
you
so,
off. That's powerful.
You know, and
you come from a pedigree.
I come from, you know, a nice pedigree. And that's where the story of us going into Kirkpatrick Middle School. And then later on, Northside High School. My dad's a graduate. My mom's a graduate. My brother, all of us went and graduated from the same school, which is, I like to call ourselves, we the first family of the Steers.
First family of the Northside Steers. Let's go. First family of the Northside Steers.
And, you know, when we got there, you know, my brother, we didn't experience a lot of winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which was difficult because as we growing up, we were used to
winning
a lot of games, going to playoff Super Bowls, you know. all area championships, you know, winning district and middle school and those things like that. But yes, we get to high school.
It's a different ball
game.
It's
a different ball game.
Got you.
And, you know, I can honestly say, starting out, I was lazy.
Okay. So lazy?
I was lazy, man. Like, I did what I did on the field just based off pure talent. I didn't work too hard. And I look back, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, I didn't do nothing but hurt myself in that, you know, in that case. The 1 year that I decided, you know, well, my junior year I went in halfway in some decent shape.
Okay. Halfway
I
shape.
I blew up in over the summer months. Mm-hmm. I looked up, I was like 245. I'm like, whoa, I looked up, man, that summer. Trimmed down all the way back down to like, I think I'm like 223. Mm-hmm. I had to get it. And probably had one of my just all-around best years,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, considering those first two, that freshman and sophomore year, boy, they were horrible.
They're horrible years.
They were horrible. They were horrible, man, you know, trying to find my footing. Yep. Not taking school seriously,
come
man.
On, somebody. The academics are struggling.
Academics struggling,
tell
man.
It all, man.
Sitting in class, not doing my work. Let's just tell it like it is, yeah. You know. Looking up, playing the first three games, and then, hey, put it like this. My freshman year, I only played three games because I didn't do nothing else in class the rest of the season.
Man, okay.
And just tell it like it is, you know. But at the same time, it taught me something, though, you know.
Yeah.
Those struggles, man, they helped prepare me for what I'm dealing with today. And what those decisions look like when you decide to make the wrong,
man.
You know.
So there's always a reason.
Always a reason.
Yes.
And so going to my junior year, we had had a new coach come in. I would say probably the best coach I've played for outside of my dad and my uncle in Pee Wee ball, you know. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Uncle Willie.
There you go, Uncle Willie.
Oh, get well soon. Yeah. Get well soon, huh? You know, he came in, man, and changed the entire culture. We missed the playoffs by a game, which we shouldn't have, and I can't even tell you what happened. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was one of the better years we had. Got a booster club back. It's people in the stands. Got a nice following. Wind up a couple games of the week, you know what I'm saying, on the news or whatever, and the high school football is covering it. You know, it was a lot to look forward to. It's a good time.
Yeah.
And everything was going good, man. And going into my senior year, I'm looking forward to it.
Right. It's your senior year. It's the last one. We all know that.
In the Texas football.
Dave Campbell. Hey, that's the Bible. Man, you and Dave Campbell, that's the Bible right there. People don't know that and understand that who ain't accustomed to this state, man.
You know, I was just a footnote because that was the same one when Chris had the big write-up, the fastest Campbell.
Yeah, the fastest Campbell. Yeah, listen, we both. So me and Kentre both suffered because of my brother's prowess over here at Westlake High School. See, I wasn't the only one.
You speak on
it. All right. Yeah. So there we go.
I'm coming
That's
in.
That's what happened, you the youngest sibling.
I'm coming in behind KJ.
Yeah.
My brother.
Yeah.
At that time, a.k.a. Ken Kennard Jr.
Right. He's got the namesake.
And he started out as a quarterback and moved to receiver his senior year. Yeah. You know, and I'm coming in after he graduates. I'm coming in as a freshman. I got to follow that up.
Let's follow up.
Hey, man, that was pretty big shoes to fill. But you know what? I'm ready to take it on. I just couldn't get that classroom portion right.
So the academic. It's all good, man. You tell it like it is. So the academic portion wasn't up to
snuff. The academic portion wasn't up to par. And it wasn't because I couldn't do it. It's because I wouldn't.
Just chose.
I chose not to. You know what I mean?
Speak on it.
And some of that come from the fact of being compared to my brother. I looked up to him, but it got to the point where, you know.
So it ain't working out the way you wanted
it. It ain't working out the way I wanted to. And so I'm okay with it. You know, my ego is in check. I just learned to swallow my pride from prior years. I'm starting to grow up some.
Yeah.
And started the season. Well, before that, we'll go get into that summer. Started having a lot of cramping issues.
Okay.
Swelling of the feet, hands, face, puffy eyes, nose, lips.
Out of nowhere.
Not knowing what it is, not thinking anything about it. 2 days going, he's thinking I've had ankle problems, so I'm thinking, well, the swelling of the ankles, because I broke my right one, almost broke my left one. I had a history of ankle problems, and thinking that's all it is. You know, I ain't thinking anything about it. Had a physical, everything was fine. You know, my mom, she made sure me and my brother, we stayed in the dentist, we stayed in the doctor's office, yearly physicals and all of that. So fast forward to starting tour days. We started tour days. I'm feeling real sluggish, sitting around, sleeping a lot. But I'm just thinking, you know, I'm practicing tour days. You know, I had this tour days and 105-degree heat. It's fatigue. And I'm cramping, but I'm just thinking, you know, hey, I'm losing a lot of water. Maybe I need to drink more water than what I'm drinking.
Wow.
And so we get started into the season, and time for another physical. And so I go take my physical, and my doctor calls me back, and she goes, we need to come back and do some more lab work. I'm thinking maybe something didn't go right or whatever the case was. I ain't thinking nothing's wrong. Thinking maybe the lab may have messed up or whatever on the lab work. Go back in, get some more lab work done, and she calls back. And she tells my mom, she say, we need to do a kidney biopsy on Ken Trey.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Well, what's going on?
So we're going routine.
Yeah, going
and
routine.
And then all of a sudden, we have a kidney.
We have a kidney
biopsy.
You have to have a kidney biopsy. Well, why? What's going on? Well, he has too much protein in his urine and too much in his blood as well. Well, how does that start? We don't know.
So we are sitting here, Kentre Kennard.
Mind you, I'm 18 years old.
18 years old, playing football, all of a sudden having kidney issues, too much protein in your urine, hit upside the head with this on the random. And now you are going to be forced, you and your family, to try to figure this out. We'll catch y'all on the other side of this break, and we're going to see how Kentre and the family figure this out, the good and the bad, the pros and the cons, and what his next steps are moving forward in life. It's Real Life, Real Talk. Take us out, Big John.
Where the love of a lifetime resides.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Talk Can't Wait, hey, Mr. TCC. Turn up your radio dial. We got something special. The Kentre Kennard, representing the north side of Funky Town, Fort Worth, is in the building, and he's been walking us through his journey growing up as, you know, one of two of Ken Kennard's sons. Ken Kennard, famous defensive lineman for the Love You Blue era at the Houston Oilers, family, friends. And just way on that wave of what he learned from sports, and to begin getting hit with a surprise that was unforeseen. And I know how that goes when you blindsided by health, and you're 18 years old and you were blindsided having somebody who was experiencing fatigue, too much protein in the urine. You're preparing for your senior year of football, not expecting anything of it. And you go see doctors, get called in twice. And now we're performing a kidney biopsy.
Yes, sir.
What's going through your mind?
Why? What does this mean?
Yes.
We didn't have the symptoms, but nobody in my family does. We didn't know what to look for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Why? Nervous?
Yeah.
Can I play? Can I continue to play with this?
Yes.
Question I never remember the doctor asked me, say, with everything going on, you shouldn't have been able to play.
Wow. I've heard that before.
Didn't know it.
Wow.
The stamina and stuff is so great. I'm like, I don't feel bad. You know, I'm out there playing. I remember the first game of my senior year, down on the field, was like 100. It's 105, but it was like 115 on the field.
Yeah. Not thinking nothing of it. You're just playing ball.
I'm just playing ball.
Wow, the mind of an athlete.
And so we sit there, and they explain to us what they're going to do with the biopsy, where it's basically they sedate me, where they take a long needle. Put it into your back, into where your kidneys are.
Yeah.
Take a small piece out, send it to the lab, look under the microscope, figure out what's going on. So go through the biopsy. They made me comfortable.
As best as they could.
As best as they could. I'm nervous. All I remember is they do was like, asking me about football, what position you play. Oh, man, you like listening to music. Next thing I know, he was telling me, hey, Kentre, you can wake up.
Just like that.
Just like that. And so I had high hopes going forward, because I didn't think, I mean, I'm still going to be able to play well. maybe they say I ain't won't be able to finish this season, but my career still gonna be able to go on. I know for a fact I'm going to play ball at the next level.
Yes.
You know? And I'm not too worried about it. I'm like, okay, maybe I can't play football, but I'll be able to play basketball this year.
Something.
I get to do
Athletically, something's gonna happen.
And I'm like, well, if I can't play football, I should be able to play basketball. I'm gonna start thinking about Sean Elliott with the Spurs. First player to play in the NBA with a kidney transplant.
Sean Elliott. So man, I'm like, okay, speaking to somebody right now.
I should be able to hoop then, you know? And they call back and tell me both of my kidneys are bad.
Wow.
My mom calls. She's on the phone. She, the doctor calls. He calls me to the room, and they tell her both are bad. She tells me I run out the house. I have nothing on but some a T-shirt, some shorts, no shoes. It's like 107 outside. Ground is scorching. I still don't know how I made it to the corner, but I had to stop because my feet was on fire.
But you're running. Because that's literally all you can do. Because everything just got taken away from you just like that. And I think that's what a lot of people can identify with, man. It's crazy to think that life can be one way, and then all it takes is one instant.
Boom
for everything. And that's what's happening to you at the age of 18.
At the age of 18, I have to try to process this. I make it to the corner. I'm sitting on the curb, and I'm just boo-hoo. My mom gets in the car, come gets me. Baby, get up. Whatever it is we're going through and what we do, we don't do it sitting on no corner. Because growing up where I come from, you know who hung on the corner and what they did.
Yeah, and what they did.
So we don't do nothing on the corner. I get in the car, we go home. First thing she did, hugged me, told me she loved me, and whatever it is, we're going to get through it. We prayed. I never forget that. First thing she told me, it's going to be all right. God got us. We prayed. She hugged me. Kept me close, you know, and I'm just boo-hooing like a toddler. What I love to do is just take it from me.
Yeah.
Who am I without this game? I don't know who I am. But it gave me a greater sense of purpose later on in life.
That's real.
Because at the end of the day, it was just a game.
Wow, man, that's powerful.
Just a game. And I want everybody out there to realize that game being taken away from me,
right,
years later allowed me to find and walk in my purpose.
And that's, I think,
and
the
real
thing.
Find my gift. Your gift is greater than your talent any day of the week.
Man, speak on that.
Any day of the week.
Your gift is greater than your talent. Wow.
You may be talented. You can play drums. You can sing real well. You can run fast. You may be able to play basketball. You may be an engineer, judge, or whatever. But that gift is God sent.
Mm-hmm.
Can't nobody take that gift away from you.
Man.
You can break a leg on the football field or whatever the case is, or any kind of sport or whatever. But that gift that he gave you, can't nobody take that away.
Hey, man, I think real life, real talk, y'all going to vibe with that. Y'all know how big I am on gift. And so I'm so glad that you said that, because that is literally after everything else had been taken away from you. And you have to revert back to who you are and figuring out you. And I think that's for somebody listening in. You have to get to a place where you figure out you.
You have to figure out you, because I lost myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to go too deep.
Uh-huh.
But I was mad at God.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 18 to I was 30 years. So you're talking about 12 years of being angry at my father up above because I couldn't understand why me.
Why you?
So I made some foolish decisions even on my journey with the kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, I was on my medications and things like that. And the crazy thing is that I don't have any underlying problems that say I should be on dialysis today.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mind you, you know, I'm looking up, I'm 7 years in on dialysis.
And I'm going to tell y'all something about Ken Trey. So you all have the heart of understanding the caliber of man he is. Because I think you got to let people know about, you know, he had this disease, but my man married, you know what I'm saying? And he's going to talk about the ups and downs of that. But also in my own, when I was getting married, you talking about somebody who has two bad kidneys, right? To show you the caliber of person Ken Trey was, when I needed you to move Shayna from the third floor. My fiance at the time, my wife now, when she was in the third floor, she was in Mesquite, and I needed somebody to help me move third floor apartment to the bottom in a U-Haul. Kentrae showed up, and I literally watched somebody battling kidney disease help me move furniture, and it took a toll on your body.
It did.
But you were still there and able to persevere. Yeah. That's why I had people to understand or listen into what you were talking about with football, because it requires an added level of something to be able to live this life with any form of disease. And you have never let anything waver or detour you. And you have the heart that says, whenever I'm going to be there for somebody, I'm going to do it regardless of the disease. You never let the disease be your excuse.
No.
And I admire you for that.
No matter how bad I felt, and during that time, I'm really on the tail end of my kidneys.
Exactly.
Going. You know, I'm having certain things happen, and I know they're going. But, you know, I'm thinking I got to be here for my wife.
Wow.
Certain things that I got to do. You know, they were hoping I got 10 years when I was first diagnosed.
First.
I got 12 out of my own, so I surpassed what they thought I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at all of that, and the day that they failed.
Yeah,
I just started working for Enterprise at DFW Airport for the national brand, car rental. I hadn't slept in like 3 days. I couldn't lay down, so much fluid on my body. Mind you all, I was 412 pounds at my heaviest now. You talking about a kid that was in shape, anywhere from 220 to 230
pounds. Yeah, we talked about that, 220, 230, yeah.
To being 412 pounds.
Wow.
My wife calls. I leave work early. My boss sends me home. She can tell I'm not feeling well.
Yeah.
She sends me home. My wife, I tell her I'm going home. I let her know I make it. I'm on my knees on my side of the bed. I finally go to sleep. She's been calling me from work. I don't answer the phone. She comes home. She calls my name 7-8 times. I don't answer. That last time she calls my name was the way she said it. I wake up. She looks at me and walks out. But it was the look and pain on her face, because I know she thought when she walked in that door that she found me no longer here.
Dead.
That night, I decided I'm going. God was like, hey, if you don't go today, she's going to come home and find you. Baby, let me take a shower. We're going to go to the hospital. Get to the hospital 3:00 in the morning. They admitted me at 5. Well, 3:00 in the morning, they tell me that my kidneys have failed. By 5, I was admitted. By 9:00, they was putting a catheter into my chest so they can start dialysis immediately, which was at 3:00.
That fast. Wow.
So first day I run 3 hours. I was in such bad shape that the doctor told my wife, "It's a good 90% chance that he's not going home. So you maybe want to make arrangements."
My.
And I never forget, I told that doctor, I looked her in the eyes. I said, what's impossible for man is possible. It's possible for God.
Say that again.
Impossible for man. For man is possible for God.
Wow.
I see you at the end of the week.
Just like that.
So they started real heavy. First day I ran 3 hours. Every day after that I ran 4 hours, pulling fluid, getting my blood clean. I finally was released a week later. Started in-center dialysis. I've never seen the doctor again. To this day, she came into that dialysis center, and I say she was God sent, because when she walked in, she looked at me, and I winked at her.
Wow. Just like that.
And I winked at her. And here I am. You look at me right now. Nobody could tell you that I'm a dialysis patient.
How much do you weigh now, Kentrae?
I'm currently at about 283 pounds.
And
I gained some weight.
410 to 283. Don't gloss over that, bro. That's powerful.
And
I want, you gonna listen. And here's what I want people to gloss over. Don't gloss over. That was a very powerful moment in your life.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, you already claimed the victory. And I think a lot of times people are waiting for the thing to actually happen before they already claim the victory as to what it is that they are aspiring to do and to be.
But that
you claimed it before
that,
it was
that,
even
that
done.
The claim of the victory came at about 3:00 in the morning on the second night.
Mm.
And Tanisha is sitting in the chair asleep.
Your wife.
My wife.
Your wife.
Who's been with me every step of the way.
Yes.
This woman stayed with me when I revealed to her that I had kidney disease. That
powerful.
Says a lot.
Powerful about the woman. Powerful.
It says a lot.
Yes, it does.
I'm listening to my gospel music. I go back to my roots,
yeah,
to what I know.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning, God says, do I have your attention now?
Wow.
That single incident, mm-hmm, kidneys failing, allowed me to be able to hear his voice again because I was tuned out, because I was angry.
Angry.
For 12 years.
For 12 years. And that's why you bought it full circle. Keep going.
That I was angry for 12 years. So now I'm looking at this situation totally different now. Okay, God, what is it that you want me to take from this? What am I supposed to do? I get back in the church, praying, getting back in the prayer, and I'm learning, mm-hmm, as I'm going. Okay, Lord, I'm praying, reveal my purpose. What is my purpose? And as I'm starting to look at people at the dialysis center, I don't want to be here. And they just, oh, take me off early. And I'm looking at these people, and somebody tell me one day, one of the techs say, I wish most of patients had the outlook you do on this thing. I look at it like a part-time job. I go, and I got to sit in the chair for 4.5 hours to have my blood taken out of my body, run through a machine, and put back in.
Wow.
Just so that I can function day to day. And if my energy level is at 70%, that's a good day.
That's a good day. Wow.
You know.
Wow. So that started to be your breeding ground, the breeding ground for you speaking. And I'm glad you talk about your wife, because I think it's important to know that whenever somebody is going through anything, any type of adversity, the support from anybody,
yes,
to be in it with them, be it diet, be it checking on them, that stuff matters.
It matters.
What Tanisha was for you is powerful. I heard you talk about, man, yeah, she makes, man, some mean chicken tacos with some cilantro and lime rice.
Yes,
I,
sir,
mean, with your whole diet, she was immersed in it with you.
With
and
me.
That does wonders.
Those first few months, man, bland food. But you know what? She didn't put no salt, no pepper.
No.
It was, hey, we're going to go through this, and we're going to learn together. And she sat there every step of the way, even through some of the roughest patches that I put her through, because I was so depression,
yeah,
everything, to the point it was so bad that I almost lost my marriage.
Well, that's real, and appreciate your vulnerability. And that's, it's just honest talk about when people go through things.
Yeah.
And marriage is hard anyway.
It's hard anyway.
So I applaud the openness for you all to be able to share that, and for you all to come to terms, and y'all worked it out, right?
Yeah, we worked it out.
You worked it out. And that makes room for you to be able to do what you're doing now. You were kind of already given a window seat to those things.
Yes.
But you were shown that, obviously, I know you can speak, you have a talk, you had a voice, and how does the journey continue, become birth out of what you were experiencing? Because you saw people there, you knew you had a voice, people told you had an outlook, so I'm imagining that gives you forth the mindset to think, I have a platform to say something.
It was spoken.
Yeah.
I can think about all my grandparents, my father's parents, my mother's mother. We would always say, well, you're gonna be a good speaker when you get older. From Easter speeches just to playing around.
Yeah.
Take it serious. I'm just playing, you know? Yeah. And when I look at that, I'm like, the journey continues. I'm on this journey.
Yeah.
And when I look at my life, I'm like, yo, life is, you know, it's a journey.
Yeah, man.
You know,
play the long game.
Most see the outcome, but the story is told in journey.
Same.
At the end of the day, you know, for y'all out there that don't know, I spell journey with a G because it's not my journey, it's God's.
Hence GTE,
God through everything.
Man, I love it.
No matter if it's bad, no matter the good, whatever it is, it's God through it all. Because just as bad as the situation again is, he's going to pull you through that. Just as things seems at its worst, he's standing there. You got to have some go through to get through the breakthrough.
Man, say that again for him.
You got to have some go through.
Y'all write that
to
down.
Get through the breakthrough.
You
got
to have some
go
through to get to the breakthrough. Got it. Got it.
Just when everything is its loudest. Just when everything is its loudest. That's when you know you're on the verge of the breakthrough, when it seems like nothing going right. You're on the verge of it. So don't give up. There's somebody out there, I want y'all to understand, don't give up, because you at that spot where you're ready to break through. You just got to wait on it, because it's there. It's going to happen. Everything is a test. It's levels to blessings. It's levels to favor.
Yeah, favor.
So that breakthrough that's there is waiting on you to get to the next level, but you got to be able to break through.
I love that, Kentre. I think that's powerful. And I think so. That's why I'm so excited for you as a speaker. I'm so excited for the stuff you're going, because you actually are starting around patient advocacy in the realm with kidney disease where
yes,
you
sir.
are. And I think that's a lot of times people get out of their realm, when all actuality, you have a lane already already built for you.
Yes.
And you're walking in that, and you are really going to inspire and uplift and be an advocate, especially for those who have that fixed mindset of defeat when it comes to kidney disease. And when they try to check the resume, you have living proof.
Living proof. You have
a wife who loves you. You've changed the way your family outlook is with kidney disease.
You're
educated, and you're also doing that right now where you are in the clinics, and it's powerful, Kentre. Tell the people again where they can get you, where they can follow you so they can keep up, because this journey of yours is going to continue.
Before we get to that, I got to put this out there.
Put it out there.
What you, the man you see now that my wife has, wasn't the man that she got in the beginning. This is for all my married people. I got to put this out there because God just put it on my heart. Don't ever try to pattern your marriage after somebody else's.
We talked about
that. At the end of the day, you don't know how their dynamic works.
Yes.
She stayed for the go through. Now you see the breakthrough.
Oof.
And she's reaping those rewards.
Come on,
I'm reaping those rewards because we too are equally yoked.
Yeah.
That's a big thing out there, being equally yoked.
Yes.
I love that woman with everything and every fiber in my being. She asked me one day, she says, "Why? Why me? You love me? Why?" Because you was there with everything. I thought everything was lost. We wasn't married at the time. I was in the hospital for 4 days, and she was there.
Yeah.
The love I see that woman, when she look in my eyes,
yeah, man.
Dude, I love that woman with my soul, man.
I love it.
I love her with my soul, man. I just had to put that out there, man,
because
I see
good people
look like, hey, man, y'all goals. I don't want to be goals for anybody because you may not be able to put up with what I put her through at the end of the day.
Say that.
And I appreciate you, baby. I love you.
I love it, man. You're only as good as that lady who's underneath your arm.
That's it, man. That's
I tell people all the time, bro, you only as good. And that real strength, I can see you draw strength from your wife.
Yes, sir.
Big time.
Yes, sir.
I'm the same way.
Big time.
I'm the same way. That's why I love the story so much.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man, if it wasn't for her, I'm not sure that I would have been able to get to the point where I am now. Matter of fact, I can tell you I wouldn't be at the point I am right now in life.
So you close me with this. What is it that you are looking to accomplish? What is it with this journey continues? What is it that you want to be known for? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? What is it that you want people to understand about you and your message?
Well, the first thing about my message that is God sent, and that my message is not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everybody out there that's listening, and for the hearts that this message would reach and touch.
Yeah.
That's why I, on my social media, I say come with open ears and a receptive heart.
That's good.
At the end of the day, my testimony is never about me. It's about everybody else.
Mm.
Because I don't walk this journey alone. I walk with my Father from above right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's guided by Him. And what I'm looking to accomplish is to bring more information to people that don't know much about kidney disease. Because
much needed.
It's much needed.
Yeah, man.
Because most people don't know they even have anything going on until it's too late. Maybe you already or needing dialysis, or you have already checked out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
You know.
Hey, man, I think that's where it is, and I know it's going to be blessed to you because whenever you operate out of a level of service where you are not the focal point, and people around you or people that you don't know are, and you're trying to tap into their hearts and deliver a message of honesty and a message that gives hope. I think that's when life starts to show you the most love.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm not even worried about it being guided. I just want people to know, man, hey, we are here at 104.9 The Horn. We got a piece of it before you started blowing up big.
and
won't answer my phone calls no more.
No, never that.
But that's it. And I think people need to know that they are sitting on their own testimony, their own thing that will help them change.
Their own testimony, man. I'm going to tell you like this. A man's journey is worth 1,000 words. A man's words are worth 1,000 journeys.
Man.
And what that means is what I go through and what I went through is worth me speaking about.
Love it.
To bring somebody else through.
Yeah.
And all these words are going to help everybody else's journey.
That's powerful.
Follow me at GTE40 on Instagram, at Kentre Kennard on Facebook. ATX, I love y'all.
Hey.
I am Kentre Kennard, and the journey continues.
Hey, man, I love it. Y'all keep up with my man. If you have kidney disease or know anybody who is battling those things, yo, introduce them to Kentre. Read up on it. He's going to come with great. You got podcasts coming the way.
Yes, podcasts coming. Yeah. It's going to be the journey continues as well.
It'll be the journey continues. And journey, ladies and gentlemen, spelled with a G. G-O-U-R-N-E-Y. The journey continues. Show my man some love. If you know somebody battling the kidney disease, or if you want to looking to learn more about it, how you can be a vessel for it, follow him. And you will be educated. You will be inspired. You will be purpose driven.